seriously consider having us sing the Zacchaeus song, but it changed my mind for the same reason. not as a solo, for the same reason. Yes, this is a very familiar story, but please follow along. As often happens for me, I hope it happens for you, is that as you're reading something you've read a dozen or dozens of times before, suddenly you notice something you didn't notice before. I'm not sure that will happen because this one is familiar, but keep an eye out for something that God will nudge you about. Luke chapter 19, as you can see there on the screen behind me, Luke chapter 19, we'll read verses 1 through 10, the famous story of Zacchaeus. It took me a long time to learn how to spell Zacchaeus, but I've known how to say it for a long time. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." I don't know if that made that sound, but that was the attitude they had. He's gone to be with a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. In 13 minutes, the First World War ended. 100 years ago today, 11:11 a.m. on 11:11 of 1918. It was called Armistice Day. Didn't really study that. Armistice, I guess, means the peace. The peace had come. The war was over. They called that the war that was to end all wars. They were wrong. We've had more wars since. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are more wars to come. So that's partly why we thank veterans today, those who, and maybe some active duty, I don't know for sure. Because veterans go to do what no one should be called to do in order to preserve the peace that we have in this country. Long before World War I, you might not have known this, when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue, most of us remember what year, 1492, he made his famous voyage west, and what was not well known, at least I didn't learn it until recently, he kept two sets of books. He kept two log books. One of them he used to keep his men believing that they were closer to land than they really were. He lied. He made it look better than it was. Apparently, Columbus felt that the morale of the crew was more important than the integrity of the captain. As Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem, he clearly told his disciples what was going to happen there. I think, like me, you probably sometimes think those disciples were dull because they didn't often seem to get it. They didn't really grasp what he was saying or understand. It was maybe too hard. All of us would probably have just as hard a time understanding what Jesus was saying. But my only point of the story of Columbus is that there was only one set of books. Jesus told it like it was. He told them what was going to happen when he went to Jerusalem, even though they couldn't quite grasp what they were saying. He could have made it sound better than it was. He knew what was going to happen. He could have tried to encourage them, put up a separate set of books, but he didn't. Some who followed Jesus thought that he was going to be a military leader. He was going to gather up some soldiers and take on the Romans to get them finally free of that oppressive rule. They wanted Israel to be free from the Romans, and they needed a king, a military leader, to get things done. Some of the people followed him just to see his next miracle. He was very famous for the miracles that he was doing around Israel. In our story, as you well know, Jesus' route to Jerusalem was by way of Jericho. You might not have known about Zacchaeus that his name means righteous one. But the supervisor of tax collectors was not living up to that name. Certainly the Jewish religious community in Jericho would not have considered him righteous. He not only collected taxes from his own people, but he worked for those unclean Gentiles, those mean Romans. The tax collectors, sometimes they're called publicans, were known to collect more taxes than required. That's how they got rich. Guam, we don't collect the taxes that the legislature passes. Somewhere in between there would be the right course, I think. But you see, the Romans sold the rights to be a tax collector, and it was an official position. And in fact, almost always, a tax collector would have Roman soldiers with their famous Roman broadswords to enforce the tax collection. The Romans sold it to the highest bidder, the right to be a tax collector. They didn't receive a salary from the Romans. They just simply collected as much money as they could. Then they got to keep what was left over after they paid the Romans for the right to collect those taxes. One example is Luke 3, 12 through 13. It says there, tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Jesus told them what they should do. Don't collect any more than you were required to. I'm sorry, John the Baptist told them. Zacchaeus was despised by the Jews, not just the leaders of the synagogue, not just the leaders of the temple, but by all the Jewish people. They saw him as a traitor because he worked for the Romans, and a cheat because he took more taxes than he should. Now, what's important about that is that nearly everybody would have looked at Zacchaeus that way. Everybody who knew him, everybody who knew who he was, even if they didn't know him, they knew who he was. So think about what Jesus saw. He did not see a hated employee of the Romans, a hated traitor of his people, a hated rich guy for, well, let's call it stealing. He was taking more than he should. That's stealing. Jesus saw a precious, lost sinner. There are other examples in Scripture of things not always as they appear to be. This is kind of a bright, shining example of that. Zacchaeus, for everything we've said about him, and all of it is accurate, as near as we can tell from the Scripture's testimony, Zacchaeus is an example of not what is or not what appears to be, but what is possible with God. Jesus had just said, chapter 18, verse 27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Zacchaeus would have brought to mind the story Jesus said about it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to go to heaven. That's what most everybody would have thought about it. There are like three or four different definitions of what that might have meant, that the camel was a kind of a rope, and so you couldn't put a big rope into the eye of a needle. And most of us think, you know, a camel, how large are they? They're huge, almost as big as a moose. And they could never get through an eye of a needle. They say that the eye of the needle was the name of a gate in Jerusalem, and that the gate was small, so that even people shorter than me would have to stoop down to get through that gate. And so a large animal like a camel could never do it. And you know, it doesn't matter. The point is, what is impossible for man is possible with God. The scripture doesn't tell us lots of details about this story. Zacchaeus' attempt to see Jesus, well, the text, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Just wanted to see who he was. Probably more people were talking about Jesus than were talking about Zacchaeus, because Jesus had become quite a phenomenon. Especially miracles, especially some of his teachings, his wisdom. I don't know how many times the scripture says they marveled at what he said, because he didn't sound like their leaders who just repeated the same old stuff. In effect, they said, this guy seems to know what he's talking about God. So Jesus was very famous, and Zacchaeus wanted to go see him. Jesus, maybe this was part of his thinking, you know, Jesus had become known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That might have perked his interest. This guy might not look at me like all these other people look at me, with hatred and anger and contempt. Verse 34 of our text, being known as a friend of tax collectors shows interest in Jesus and how far he would go. We don't think he was really trying to hide. The text says he ran ahead and climbed into the tree in order to see Jesus, because there was a crowd there. Like if you're going to take a picture of a large group of people, you know, everybody's got to try to make sure that you can see the camera. Well, he was a short guy. People of their day were probably mostly shorter than most of us, generally. But he was shorter than the average person and couldn't see over or around or through the crowd. So Jesus gets to where he's climbed the tree and calls him with orders to come down. I want to come over to your house. Now, I would like to have a little more detail. I would like to know that Zacchaeus was filled with joy and praising God for this event. We don't know that, at least when he's climbing down out of the tree. But we do know that Zacchaeus showed both repentance and joy as he welcomed Jesus. And it's not hard at all for us to imagine the grumbling about this that the people did. But it's very interesting to see the changes Zacchaeus experienced that day because of Jesus' visit to Jericho. Okay, a couple of things you will see on the notes there. First of all, an adult became like a child. That's verses 2 through 4. In that part of the world, even to this day, it is very unusual for an adult man to run. It's very unusual for an adult my age to run. I try to walk a lot for exercise. But there, it was kind of like the culture. It was kind of like the custom. Adult men don't run, especially not wealthy, important government officials. They don't run. If they want something quickly, they have somebody do it for them. Yet Zacchaeus ran down the street like a little boy chasing a parade, and even climbed up into a tree to see it. I used to love to climb trees. I've kind of given up on it now. But he climbed up into a tree to see the parade, to see Jesus. Curiosity is typical of most children, and Zacchaeus was curious like a child that day, running and curious to see Jesus. John Calvin wrote about this: curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. End quote. This is often the case, and it was certainly true of Zacchaeus that day. Why such a big crowd? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth that they are following? What am I missing? I want to see. Jesus said just in the previous chapter, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's chapter 18, verse 17. Perhaps more than anything else, pride keeps older people, more successful people, important people from trusting in Jesus Christ. It usually doesn't stop children or those with childlike faith. We don't know how he got it. We don't know how he got that childlike faith that day. It's just the curiosity and the fame of Jesus. Next, a seeker was found. Verse 5. Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus. Verse 3. But Jesus was seeking him, says verse 10. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus thought he was looking for Jesus. Lost sinners don't naturally seek the Savior. We learn this from Romans 3:11 and elsewhere. When Adam and Eve sinned, we know from Genesis, they hid from God. But God came looking for them. This wasn't new for our powerful Almighty God in the form of the Son, God seeking people. But it is always interesting. During his time on earth, Jesus frequently went looking for lost ones. He even told us a story we know very well, a famous story of the lost sheep. Don't you, like I, often wonder, what about the other 99? Why would he leave 99 sheep to go find one lost one? Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Jesus still, to this day, through the Holy Spirit and the church, is seeking lost sinners. And you know what? He could do it without us, but he wants our help. He wants us to help him find lost sinners and introduce them Jesus. We don't know specifically how God worked in the heart of Zacchaeus to prepare him for meeting Jesus that day. Was Levi, the former tax collector, now disciple? We know of him as Matthew. Was he a friend? Had he told Zacchaeus about Jesus? Maybe. We don't know. Was he praying for Zacchaeus? Possibly. But we don't know. Had Zacchaeus gotten tired of his wealth and started yearning for something else? We still don't know. But we can rejoice that a Savior who seeks lost ones always finds the sinners looking for a new start. He always finds. Next, a small person became big. My favorite part of the song we're not going to sing is he was a wee little man. We don't usually use that phrase. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. But the scripture tells us, without using that word, that he was a short man. Being a short man, he couldn't see Jesus. I have many, many times have had short men and women say to me, "Oh, it must be so wonderful to be so tall." To which I replied, "Do you ever get bumps and scratches on the top of your head? That's one of the joys of being tall, bumping into things up here." But he was a wee little man, a short man, couldn't see over the crowd. And Zacchaeus did what he could to overcome his short stature by putting aside his dignity, running and climbing the tree. Now, this may be a bit of a stretch, but I think it's true and accurate to say, spiritually, all of us are too short. None of us are very tall people spiritually. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says Romans 3:23. No one measures up to God's standards. No one. We're all too little to enter into heaven. And I say that because the tragedy is many lost sinners think they're tall. They think they're fine. They think they don't need Jesus to get to heaven. They measure themselves by man's standards, money, position, authority, popularity, things that are called in Luke 16:15 detestable in God's sight. They think they have everything when they have nothing, says Revelation 3:17. That day, Zacchaeus trusted Jesus and became a true son of Abraham, meaning, of course, a child of faith, part of the faith family, the big one, not just this one, the universal church of God. That is as big as you can get. Look up to. And next, a poor person became rich. Oh, wait, you say, he was quite rich, right? He was stealing all the money. He was collecting too much money. People thought Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, but we know that he was just as bankrupt sinner as there is, needing God's gift of eternal life, the most expensive gift in the world. You might not know that this is the only time recorded in the four Gospels where Jesus invited himself to someone's home. I don't ever do that. I don't like to do that. Some of your homes I'd like to come see, but I don't quite dare invite myself over. So if you want me to come, invite me. I'll take Rose along. Zacchaeus was not saved because he promised to do good works. He was not saved because he says, "Today I'm giving half of my wealth to the poor, and I'm going to pay people I've cheated four times more than I cheated them." It's not why he was saved. This real-life story reminds us of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus had just told it earlier in chapter 18:13, just before this story. Zacchaeus was saved because he responded by faith to Jesus' offer of grace to him. That's what we read about in a paraphrase of the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. Saved by faith, by grace, through faith. That's what Zacchaeus did. Trusting the Savior, he then gave evidence of the joy in his heart at this grace offered to him, and promised to make restitution to those he had wronged and to help the poor. This saving faith is more than religious words and feelings. It's a relationship with Jesus that results in a changed life. Everyone there in that original story knew the Mosaic Law. They knew, for example, in the Mosaic Law, if a thief voluntarily confessed his crime, he had to restore what he took, add one-fifth to it, and bring a trespass offering to the temple, to the Lord. If he stole something he could not restore, he had to repay fourfold. And if caught with the goods, he had to repay double. Zacchaeus did not quibble over these details of the law. he went ahead and went to the most expensive remedy voluntarily. He could have got by with a lot less and been completely in compliance with the Mosaic Law. But he didn't quibble. He offered to pay the highest price. You might wonder why. Well, I'm pretty sure I know why. Because his heart had been truly changed. Now, the story doesn't tell us that in great detail, as I said. There's lots of details I would like to know. But we can rest assured his heart was changed, because people don't act that way if their hearts are not changed. And next, the host became the guest. Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, as I told you, and he was received joyfully, as we mentioned. Joy is one of the key themes in the Gospel of Luke. The word is found over 20 times in various forms. Here it says gladly. Salvation certainly should put joy into a believer's heart. In fact, most of the time, salvation keeps joy in a believer's heart. So not always smiley, happy, not always giddy, but deep down joy. Jesus was now his master. He was ready to obey the Lord and do whatever was necessary to be a genuine testimony to others. His things now belonged to Jesus, and he was gladly willing to share them with those in need. Now you notice people criticized Jesus for going to that house, to a sinner's house. Those critics also needed to be saved. But they didn't show any trust in Jesus. Jesus explained his choice of company that day. He brought salvation to someone as entitled to hear the gospel as any other of the Jewish people, as much as any people, since that changed. Jesus was still on the mission to the people of God called Jews or Hebrews. That was his mission. As we know from earlier discussions we've had, that Paul was the one who finally, he always started with the Jews. He always went to the synagogue. He always went to where the Jews gathered, and he told them about Jesus. And some believed. But most of the time, they said, we don't want to hear that. And then he went out and shared with the Gentiles. Okay, that hadn't happened yet. So Jesus was on mission to save the Jews. Just as the parables tell us various points about the kingdom of God, following Jesus' path to Jerusalem shows us glimpses into the purpose of Jesus on earth. Zacchaeus' story fully and finally shows Jesus' purpose. Like the shepherd I mentioned who goes to look for a lost sheep to rescue it from danger, so Jesus looks for and saves lost people. And I will say again, he could get the job done without us, but he'd like our help. He'd like our help to find sinners and introduce them to Jesus. Most every day when a day begins, you never really know for sure how it will end. For Zacchaeus, that day ended in a joyful relationship with the Son of God, our Savior, his Savior, Jesus Christ. He was now a changed man with a new life. We don't know for sure, but we may guess he might have stayed as a tax collector. He might have. We don't know. But now he was changed on the inside. Jesus is still seeking the lost and wants to save them. The question, of course, is, has he found you? Do you know that he found you? Do you trust him and give your life to him? Because if you don't, today is a great day to start living forever in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior, our saving Lord, who wants to save sinners and give us eternal life. We thank you that he has found many of us, and we ask that you'd continue to work in us, and we especially pray that you'll help us to join your mission to be saving lost sinners and introducing them to Jesus. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and guidance and love to do that. We ask that you'll give us sensitivity. There are lots of folks who really don't want to hear it and yet need to, just like Zacchaeus did that day. Lord, help us and guide us and show us your will. Help us to be your ministers of peace and grace and saving grace in Jesus. We pray this all in Jesus' name.